The Fed and an interest rate cut. What might that mean for you? We've got details. It's the Business News Headlines for Wednesday, the 31st day of July. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Hey, have you ever worked at Sears? We've got some bad news for their retirees. How about typing by just thinking what you want to write? Not making that up. Somebody is buying lots and lots of U.S. cars, and we'll share who that is. Malls are coming to the aid of retailers. There's a switch for you. Details coming up on those stories and more, plus a look at a conversation we've recently had with Taro International CEO Ro Crosby about employees, employee promotions, entitlement, and engagement. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You know, for all the talk about the Fed cutting or not cutting rates, you would think that just around the corner is a basket full of cash just waiting for you to swoop in and grab it. However, nothing could be further from the truth. Cutting the rate does impact banks and their ability to borrow at lower rates, but will those lower rates be passed on to you, the consumer? The simple answer is maybe. What you shouldn't expect is a windfall, at least not in the short term, because this move will merely reverse a fraction of the 9 hikes over the past 3.5 years. So here's a real look at reality. What about credit cards? Well, credit cards will hardly be impacted at all. Credit card rates are generally tied to the prime rate, which in turn is affected by the Fed's benchmark rate. While the rate will eventually drop by a quarter percentage point, it might not happen as quickly as rates are increased. That's because card issuers also have language in their agreements that allows them to use the highest prime rate in effect during the preceding 60-day period. So a quarter point cut on a $5,000 credit card balance would lower the minimum monthly payment by just a dollar. A dollar. What about home equity loans? A quarter point reduction on a $30,000 home equity line of credit? Well, that would shave the monthly payment by $6.25. Adjustable rate mortgages? Well, should the Fed make good on the rate cut, it would reduce the monthly payment on a $200,000 mortgage by $56. Fixed-rate home mortgages are impacted by the rate of the 10-year T-note. The 30-year average mortgage rate is already near historic lows, and there's little expectation that we'll dive further. How about car loans? Let's talk about those for a moment. A quarter-point decrease on a 5-year loan, now averaging 4.77%, that's according to Bankrate.com, would lower the monthly payment on a new $25,000 car by $3 a month. All right, what about student loans? Many private student loans come with variable interest rates that follow the prime rate. So when the loan rate adjusts, it depends on what's written in your loan terms. For instance, your monthly payment will decrease for those on a regular payback schedule, but if you're on an income replacement plan, your monthly payment won't change, but a lower portion will go towards interest rather than principal. Federal student loans, well, they have a fixed interest rate set by Congress and are not affected by the Fed's move. So the reality of all the noise being made about a Fed rate cut simply will not dramatically make a difference to the vast majority of Americans. However, if you add zeros to the home mortgage or to the car loan, your savings will increase, which may be the point. Earlier this year, former employees of Sears gathered together to complain that their retirement benefits were being slashed, and they were right. The much-touted Sears insurance plan that were potentially worth thousands of dollars to heirs of the former employees has become yet another embarrassment. Now the Sears estate has responded with a proposal that would pay each of them, get this, $135 each. It's another blow to workers who have seen livelihoods disappear as the department store chain, once the biggest in the United States, slid into bankruptcy. Sears filed for court protection last year and sold its shares and most of its assets to a unit of Eddie Lambert's ESL Investments. That was back in January. Well, the deal left behind the Sears estate, which is responsible for settling old debts, including the life insurance plan. The retiree plan provided policies to about 29,000 former workers with death benefits ranging between $5,000 and $14,500, according to a new court filing that lays out the estate's proposal. Attorneys for the retired Sears workers are calling all of this settlement of $135, a national disgrace, saying that many of the retirees are now too old to get life insurance, and they're seeking a better settlement. In a story that suggests we're getting closer and closer to a Star Trek episode, The Next Web has this interesting piece. During its developer conference back in 2017, Facebook announced its plans to develop a brain-computer interface that would let you type by just thinking. Well, now researchers from the University of California, San Francisco are working under this program, and they've posted a study noting their algorithm was able to detect spoken words from brain activity in real time. Researchers said the algorithm recorded the brain activity while patients spoke, and they noted the model decoded those words with an accuracy as high as 76%. Meanwhile, Facebook says this isn't going to be rolled out anytime soon, but the story is interesting, yes? So, why don't you think about it and type us your answer? You know, while individuals make up the largest segment of car buyers, and will continue to be so, there's a growing number of automobiles being purchased by corporations. Cox Automotive estimates that corporate fleet sales will make up about 19% of new car sales this year. That's over 3 million vehicles and would be the highest percentage and the highest total of fleet unit sales in years. Major corporations or organizations looking to update or grow their fleet of vehicles would look at the deal the car company is offering and the specifications of the vehicles available. Now, some American companies looking to demonstrate their patriotism will buy from the big three American auto manufacturers. It is a bright spot in a fragile economy. Speaking of fragile, today we learned that the Simon Group, that's the largest mall owner in the United States, say they are here to help the retail base. Simon CEO David Simon said on a post-earnings conference call when asked if he would consider investing in more of the landlord's tenants, he said, quote, "We're certainly as good as the private equity guys when it comes to retail investment, and so I wouldn't rule it out." He added, "We're only going to buy into companies that we think have brands that have the volume that's worth doing it." End quote. Well, it's more than 7,000 store closures announcements have already funneled through this year, with more expected to come. Simon could be eyeing some deals. It's already a partner with Authentic Brands Group, that's a house for brands like Juicy Couture and Nautica, and recently became a shareholder in esports provider Allied Esports, with plans to open up more gaming venues at its malls. The next deal, well, could be with Forever 21. Bloomberg reported last month that apparel retailer Forever 21 was asking its biggest landlords, including Simon, if they'd consider taking a stake in the business as it's exploring restructuring. Now, Forever 21 has more than 800 stores, many in malls globally. Forever 21 is notably Simon's seventh largest inline tenant in terms of how much rent it brings to the landlord, with 99 stores across Simon properties. Analysts have said that Simon has one of the best balance sheets in its industry, meaning it has plenty of capital on hand to fund more deals like any of them, really. It ended the last quarter with more than $6.8 billion in liquidity. Stay tuned. We've not done this for, well, a couple of weeks anyway. How about a marketing tip for you? And it has to do with Twitter for Business. And it kind of gets frustrating. You know, this summer has marked the 10th year our agency has been doing Insight on Business, the News Hour. It's this daily business newscast that you're listening to right now. First appeared on the web, moved to terrestrial radio, and now is a combination of both radio and podcast. Now, during all of this time, I've interviewed thousands of business people about the who, what, and where of their business. Each long-form business interview is then placed on our radio blog and shared across several social media channels multiple times over the course of several weeks or months, depending on the story. Then we also, get this, we also send out the interview link along with a one-page how-to so our guests can then share their story on their own social media channels. In other words, we've got a long and proficient history when it comes to social media, especially Twitter. Now, I tell you all this because over the years, I've searched for and found hundreds of Twitter profiles connected to the businesses we've featured. We do that so we can link our story to their feed and help them get more traction. However, more often than not, those business Twitter feeds have been either abandoned or worse, so sparsely cared for that I see maybe one or two tweets a month, if that. And what's even more incredible is that even if our guest has a fairly active Twitter stream, they may fail to retweet their own story and the content that we've freely created for them. You know, often I'll reconnect with the business we've profiled and ask the question, say, I see that we've shared our story a dozen times on Twitter over the past 2 weeks and tagged you, yet your Twitter stream has never carried our contact. Can you tell us why? Usually, we get crickets. They don't know. Or worse yet, I'll get something like, gosh, I'll have to ask our social media specialist about that. In other words, they simply don't understand the power of Twitter. They may have relegated it to an outside source or have an internal person who simply doesn't understand how the platform works. Finally, I believe they think, hey, it's free, so how valuable can it be? It is frustrating. You know, business has in front of them their own media company that, if they work it, can pay huge dividends in the form of referrals and sales and building a positive brand among consumers. That's a marketing tip for you. If you got a Twitter stream, for crying out loud, use it. And if we're talking about you, you might want to retweet that stuff, yeah? You think? Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking with Ro Crosby. She's the founder and CEO of Tarot International. This is a piece that we did several weeks ago. But I think it's vitally important to understand employee promotions. Are they really engaging your employees, or are they causing your employees to become entitled? It's a big question. And Rose got some answers. It's coming up next here on the Business News Hour.